This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're in a little series at the moment called How We Change and Grow, which is part of our big Follow Me theme for the year. How We Change and Grow. And my topic for this week is under the title of We Become Like the One Whom We Love. We become like the one whom we love. Last week, we looked at thinking about how we become like what we believe. And this week, it's about how we become like the one we love. So the belief thing is based upon understanding our identity. So as we know that we are beloved children of God, from that starting point, we can begin to live the new life that we're given rather than the old life. And part of that growing and changing is as we live that new life, we become like the one whom we love and like the people we love. Lily Allen, the famous singer and theologian, she said this. She said, "I always wanted to be somebody, but now I realize I should have been more specific." And I think to be the best version of you, to be somebody, the one that God created, there are three sets of relationships that I would encourage you to nurture as you change and grow into the person, into the somebody that God wants you to be. And the three sets of relationships are the one, that's your relationship with God, learning to love him. And it's your relationship with the few, the second one, which is, by that I mean that the teachers we choose, those voices who are teaching us to love Jesus. And thirdly, the many, our brothers and sisters in the church family, allowing them to be Jesus to us. And if you will nurture these three relationships, the one, the few, the many, and ensure that they steer you towards Jesus, you will become not just somebody, but the best God-ordained version of yourself. So would you turn with me to Ephesians 4? We looked at this last week. We'll look at it next week as well. We'll read from it today. Ephesians 4, 17 to 5, verse 2. See if you can find it in your Bible or in your device. I'll read it straight through and then we'll look at some particular parts of that. So this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus from Rome. So I tell you this, and I insist on it, he says, that's strong, I insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer think as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and they're separated from the life of God. Imagine that, being separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, awareness of God, sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed or lust. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. That's what we looked at last week. And to put on the new self, created to be like God. Goodness me. Your new self to be created like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands so that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. follow God's example. Follow his example, therefore, as dearly loved children, sons and daughters, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So the first relationship, let us look to God to discover who we're meant to be. That last song we sang about listening out for him, going to him in the silence, in the quiet, in the other places. Let us look to him to discover who we're meant to be, to help us to change and grow. Letting him declare our identity. Letting God declare, tell us who we are. Otherwise, we end up, verse 18, look at verse 18. Otherwise, this is where we end up, darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So on the contrary, let us soften our hearts towards God. If you skip to the end of the bit that we've been reading, chapter 5, verse 1, it sets a context, that phrase, follow God's example, so look to him for your example. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. We're back to this parent-child relationship again, dearly loved children. Follow God's example. Some translations will say, be imitators of God, copy him, act like him, impersonate him, get as close to the original as possible. If you think back to verse 24 we looked at last week, being made like God. And how do we do that? As dearly loved children. And we thought about those words last week, didn't we? You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I am pleased with you. We need to hear that, father to child. And as we look to our Heavenly Father and spend time with him and get to know him, and we invite Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to come and fill us again and again, then we will change and grow. And we will become like the one whom we love. Let's move on to the few. That's the one, the few. This is Paul's very direct challenge to the Ephesians in these verses. Who are you listening to? Who is helping you change and grow? Look at verse 20. He says, referring back to that way that we just read about, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ, being separated from him. That's not the way of life when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught. And he's calling them back to the voices they first heard who brought them the gospel. Who were you listening to? Who are those people? Listen wisely again. Not everything that you listen to or read or watch when it comes to learning Jesus is going to be agreeable or easy to understand. Some of it's going to be tough. We found that last year when we were reading the Bible in a year. If it's all too easy, that's making God in our own image. And Paul warns Timothy about this a bit later in the scriptures, where he says this in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3. He says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I think that's a very good definition of social media algorithms. Gathering teachers around us who tell us what we want to hear. So my plea to you is to curate that few, those people who speak into your life, carefully. Teachers, preachers, podcasts, blogs, social media, books, the ones who influence you towards Jesus. You see, those verses, if you go back to them later, you'll see that the underlying sense in them is not that we're learning so much about Jesus like a historical figure reading the text. It's more like we're learning him. We're being taught him, the person. So the translation misses out the word about. So it's we learn Jesus. So the people that teach us should take us to him, because the truth is embodied in Jesus. And we're meant to be taken into a relationship with him. Not an abstract concept, but a real person in history, present with us now through his Holy Spirit. That differs from other religions, where it's mainly about learning a catechism. Here we're learning a person. So do these few that you have gathered around you in your life, do they take you into an encounter with Jesus, which will often be uncomfortable, as well as wonderfully redemptive? The truth is in him, and we become like the one we love. And then thirdly, so there's the one, there's the few that teach us and influence us, and then there's the many. In Genesis 2, when God has made the one human, he says to about him, he said, it's not good for this human to be alone. We need somebody else to tell us who we are. There's a great story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's about Ronald Reagan, who was the president of the United States back in the 80s. And he goes to visit the oldest person in California. It may have been when he was a governor of California, in fact. And she was 104. And he goes up to her and, do you know who I am? I'm not great at accents. And she says, no, but if you ask the nurse over there, she'll tell you. The many, the people we gather around us, will change and will grow, help us grow, change and grow, and because they will tell us who we are. And that takes various forms. For some of us, it's our blood family who have this role in our lives. For some, that doesn't work very well. For our spouse, choose carefully, because they're going to speak who you are from Jesus. Your friends, you get to choose these. You don't choose your family, but you get to choose your friends. And the best friends are the ones who will speak truth to you. Paul talks about that a few verses before in chapter 4. And in your church family, you don't really get to choose there. When you join a growth group, you can't choose who's in your group. And that's part of the way God works with us. He places us in a church. He places us in a group. Verse 25, the last phrase of verse 25 is, we are all members of one body. Why do we do all these things? Because we're all members of one body. It's Paul's favorite metaphor of the body again. You know, we're his toes and nose and fingers and eyes in his body on earth. And the surrounding verses before and after describe life together in contrast to the life separated from God. We get a more robust knowledge of Jesus when we do life together, when we allow our brothers and sisters to speak into our lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians from the pre-Second World War, early 19th century, who's martyred in the Second World War, German theologian, he wrote a book called Life Together. There's a link on the website where he writes about living together as brothers and sisters. And he talks about the brother and encourages them. He says, the Christ in your own heart is weaker, he says, than the Christ in the word of his brother. Fascinating concept. But what it means is that in this interaction with each other, we get more truth from the other person speaking to us than we think of it in ourselves. We need to hear each other, Jesus in each other. So the many means giving and receiving, saying sorry and forgiving one another, putting up with irritations, and learning to change our ways. Life in the family, life in the many, should not be, will not always be, easy and tranquil. Expect to be confronted, if I had longer, I'd tell you about the many times I have been, and challenged, and expect to find that situations and people are uncomfortable sometimes. If we run away from this and try and do it on our own, we will not grow and change. We become more like Jesus as we commit ourselves to his body, the body of Christ, and nurture those relationships and learn to love one another, to love the body of Christ. We become like the one whom we love. So let me draw this to a close. We're trying to learn how to change and grow as we follow Jesus and become like the one whom we love, Jesus. So let us nurture the relationship with God, the one. And as we love God, we become like God. That's the promise in the scripture. That's what we're led to. Let us think carefully about the few, those who teach us. Think about what we watch and read and listen to, making sure that whatever it is, they draw us towards Jesus to love him more so that we become like him. And let us learn to live with the many, with one another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with the Holy Spirit speaking into us, amongst us, and revealing Christ in unexpected ways. And in these ways, we will grow and change, and we will become more like the one whom we love. The gospel is a, as we pray, is a gospel of change and about becoming that best version of you. And by believing in Jesus Christ, who loves you, who died for you to save you, and whom you can know today, you can become that new person. And some of them, you may be watching and thinking, I'd love that new life. I really don't like my old life, my life. I need to believe that somebody can save me and change me and help me become who I'm meant to be. So I just want to pray for you if that's you, and encourage you to believe in Jesus. It'll be, choose to follow him, and it'll be the best decision you ever make in your life. So let me pray for you. Why don't you pray this prayer with me as I pray it? Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I know that I have done so much wrong and I've made a mess of my life. And that there are gaps and I'm far away. And I'm sorry and I repent. I turn away from that and I turn towards you. Thank you for saving me, for dying for me. Thank you for your forgiveness, and I choose to receive your forgiveness. I don't really understand all of what that means, but I choose to receive it. And I choose to live for you as best I can. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me put on the new life and walk in your way. Amen.